Interestingly enough, throughout this week, God gave me a picture of some lives. As some of you know, I've been walking through some things with you in life and carrying a prayer this week. And I know of other situations and things that have happened, not only in this church family, but in the family of God in the city. And there's a lot going on. And I felt inspired of the Lord just to, again, remind us of a couple of things, if I can do that with you. If you have a Bible, hard copy or digital, if you could turn, first of all, to Psalm 23. I want to just share a couple thoughts from there. Hope you don't mind, I'll use my digital one today. If it goes off, the only one that'll know is me, because I'll see it. You know, difficulties in life come various ways, don't they? Some come because of just life, curveballs. You know, we live in a broken world, and things happen. And sometimes they're unique things, but they just happen in life. As we move forward, stuff happens, they say. And we all know that. We've all experienced those things. And some of you right now are going through stuff because things just have happened. You know, life has sort of come to that point. Other thing, it comes down to choices we make. Sometimes we run into difficulty because we run ahead of God or we don't ask for wisdom or advice. We just make bad choices. And sometimes we out and out sin. And so life throws us curveballs because of our own choices, our own sin, our own deciding to be self-run or self-led. But there are some things in life that we face that are unseen. We describe them in the Bible as spiritual warfare, I guess is a good way to put it in our terms. You know, there is an enemy, the Bible tells us, that Satan and his dominion war against us as believers. And we don't see that, so often we don't think about it, we don't reflect on it, we don't even sometimes acknowledge it. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible tells us that there are principalities and powers, and they are at work against us. And often we look for answers or difficulties by looking at each other and saying we're each other's problem. When it's not that, it's principalities and powers, that we have an enemy, a spiritual war that's raging against us because the Spirit of God lives within us. And because of the Spirit of God living within us, and because of our faith and our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ, it's automatically that we're going to face spiritual opposition in times in our life. Sometimes more prevalent, other times more subtle. But there is an enemy, and we need to make sure that we don't, you know, give him any credence or glory, but that we just recognize he's real, and that the enemy is against us, and that we find our hope and strength and our power in a relationship with Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God working in our lives. Difficult stuff. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You can put your name in there for I. You know, the Lord is riches shepherd. What does that mean? It means that God cares for me, that God is leading me in my life, that He will guide my life. He is all-encompassing, and without Him, I have no hope. It's like a sheep that goes astray and is out of the flock, and it's open to the elements, and it's open to whatever he finds to feed, and he's open to wolves. It's like that with us if we separate ourselves from God. You know, we come out of that banner of protection, and we need to stay close to Jesus in all of our life and all of our times, knowing that He's always there for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Life is full of noise. Life is full of stuff going on. And life is full of voices drawing us one way or another. And we all know about life and stress and about anxiety, and we all know about the demands that are put on us in life, whether we're at work or school or home or out and about. We know that there are demands on our life that want to keep us tied down and focused on the things that are going on. But Jesus wants to take us to those quiet waters. That's what he does when you open up the Word of God. And that's what happens when you open the Word of God and you just take time to read it, reflect, and be quiet and be still before God in it. Is he wants to lead us to quiet waters because he wants to, what does it say next? He wants to restore our soul. If you are spiritually tired in this place today, if you are spiritually tired and maybe a little bit of the joy of the Lord is lacking, is missing, there's just something not quite full, can I encourage you to let God lead you to quiet waters? Because he will restore your soul. He will give you hope. He will fill you with joy. He will fill you with peace. He will give you the things that you have need of in your life because your life is unique and God knows you full well. Guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This passage just doesn't reflect, you know, the times we face literally death, although some of us probably have in this room, you know, and that God is with you and he's brought you through it. I can think of those times of accidents that could have been, should have been, you know, and God seems to have spared us. Like that time on the highway there and heading for the cliff and no way to get control of the car. And yelling the name Jesus as loud as I could. And Noreen screamed. And I don't think she was screaming a good scream. You know, and there was God to remind me of what to do. And how often do you want to press the gas going straight at a cliff? And that's what I was supposed to do. And God straightened us out. You know, that's not a fluke. That's not, you know, brain knowledge. That's a God who through the valley of the shadow of death was with me. Been in one of those situations in your life? Seeing God spare and help you? Been in places of darkness where you thought there was no hope, all was lost? And then all of a sudden, you know, months later, you're looking back going, well, how did I get through that? Well, that was God leading and guiding and helping. And if you're in a situation in your life right now that seems hopeless, trust God. Trust him. Don't leave him out of the equation. Give all of your heart, all of your life, all of your attention to him. Trust him to lead you through it. Remember the storm and the disciples in the boat and all was raging and, you know, they didn't even think to turn to Jesus first because Jesus was sleeping and having a rest. Why not? He was tired. You know, and in the midst of it, they finally, you know, wake him up. Don't you care? Of course he cared. But didn't it interesting that he waited until they woke him up, and then he intervened, right? And sometimes I think we need to remember when the storm is raging, don't forget that Jesus is there, even if he's silent, in our opinion. Even if it's quiet, in our opinion. By faith, talk to him. Lean towards him. Trust him. Tell him what's going on in your life. Trust him because God is with us. You remember the fiery furnace and the three guys thrown into the fiery furnace? What did King Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked in, what did he see? He saw four. Maybe on this hand I'd have bad math, but this hand I've got good math. There was four. And what does he say? It's like one who is the Son of God, because Jesus was in the furnace with them. He walked it through. And at the end, when they came out, you couldn't even smell the campfire. That's a God. You know, they went into the fire. They had to face it. But Jesus was there with them. What about Daniel in the lion's den? And these lions were not bred to be full. They were bred to be hungry, so when they threw people in, they'd eat them. And I can just see Daniel in the lion's den with all this stuff and these ferocious lions probably, you know, snuggling up to keep warm right into their fur, you know, and then petting them. I don't know that, but kind of the picture I get. God was there. Israel was facing Goliath, and all they wanted was one person to go fight him. Winner take all. Nobody would go near it. And David, inspired by the Spirit, all of a sudden gets a little bit of Holy Ghost fire in him. And who is this guy that would defy not us, but defy God? And he goes up against this Goliath with just what he had, what he practiced in time. God doesn't expect you to all of a sudden have supernatural power. Supernatural power comes from a God when you need it. And what about Jesus? Do you think he faced the shadow of death? Well, he died. Look what he went through. If anybody could throw his hands up and quit or give up, it'd be him. But yet he kept his eyes on his Father. And he showed us that you and I, in the most desperate need of our life, need to keep our eyes fixed on him. It's not easy. I'm not trying to tell you that today. It's not the kind of peaceful road once you just sort of turn your eyes to Jesus. You know, there is a struggle we have. But hope and stability and foundation come when we keep our eyes on him, regardless of our emotions or how we feel. That we acknowledge that he's there. That we acknowledge he's with us. Seasons of life face all individuals, families, churches, communities. But we're in a race that requires endurance through everything that goes on. We need to endure. We need to stay the course. We need to hang on. We need to realize that it's not just a momentary race. It's a race that continues until the day when Jesus Christ returns and we see him face to face. And then we get to party. We've got to be enduring people. We've got to hang in there. We got to trust in God because God is interested in the long haul. And we got to believe that God is at work in our life through every circumstance. Just like Jesus said, you know, or Paul says that all things work together for good. That means the bad stuff. That even means when I sin, God is going to use that to bring me through to repentance, and his grace is going to flourish. And as I repent and as I turn, God is doing a greater work in my life. He uses everything in our lives for the purposes of changing us and transforming us. 1 Corinthians 9 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run?" And we're all running the race of faith. But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. You know, Paul's not saying that only one of us is going to win. He's saying, make sure that you run the race of faith as if you have to win. Give it all. Fight with everything within you and trust God's strength for the rest to carry us through. But let's run to win the prize and not give up. Let's not allow circumstances or life or any other thing and no spiritual warfare to deter us from giving our eyes on the prize. Now, I'm not using this next illustration to brag, but maybe I am. One of my daughters has trained herself to run marathons. I don't get it. But she put her mind to do it. And her ultimate goal, way at the beginning, was that one day she would run in the Boston Marathon. And so she set herself to run these things and to train and discipline herself so that she one day could do that. And this last year, she ran in the Chilliwack Marathon, which was a qualifying one for the Boston Marathon. She qualified under the time, and she was able to register for the Boston Marathon. And on April 20th of this year, she is going to be running in the Boston Marathon. Just a dream she had to do. Now, if she stopped training at any point, like after that Chilliwack race, if she just stopped training and quit running and just sat on her laurels and decided, okay, I'll run the Boston Marathon, I don't need to do anything else, would she be able to run it? I doubt it. So she has continued to train because she wants the prize, the goal of what she's done all of this for was for that moment. And I'm happy about that. I'm glad that she gets to do that. But I use that today because in faith, if we stop disciplining our lives and we keep our eyes off of Christ and we just sort of once in a while think we can do it on our own strength, we will fail. We have to keep our eyes on Christ. We have to do the things that discipline our lives. We have to get into the Word of God. We have to pray. We have to be quiet. We have to meditate. We have to allow God's Spirit to work in our lives. We have to allow God's Spirit to move on us so that we serve Him and we invest ourselves in lives of others. It's important that we don't quit, that we stay focused in our faith and we endure to the end. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 says this, therefore we do not lose heart, because though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, God is doing a good work in your life inwardly. He is transforming you. He is at work in your life, in your physical world. He is there. He is doing a good work. So let's not lose heart. Let's not turn our eyes from the things that are unseen, the eternal things. Let's keep our eyes fixed on them. And Colossians 1:11 says that we will be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Christ wants to invest in us His strength by His Spirit so that we will be steadfast and we will be patient in the race and will not give up or turn to the left or the right. I have a word to those of you in this room who intercede and pray on behalf of people in the church, on behalf of the church itself, on behalf of the gospel, on behalf of this city and this community. I have a word for you from the Lord that there are people always who will be struggling. And I would say to you, be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. Do not give up. Continue to pray and intercede and be steadfast and persevere in it because we need you. Not everybody can do it week after week, day after day, be steadfast in prayer. We just all aren't built that way. So those of you that pray, those of you that can intercede, do it. Don't stop. Don't be discouraged. Please don't be discouraged. I need you. I need you. Look around this room. We need you. Please, please, please. God hears your prayer. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. If you don't know all of the needs, and I'm sure I don't either, represented in our church family, I can guarantee you right now, this very moment, there are a whole lot of people who need you to continue to persevere and pray for them. And to all of us, I would say this. Let's hold fast. Hold the faith. Keep going. Be strong in the Lord. Be encouraged. Be refreshed. Be renewed in your spirit today. Let God's joy just fill you. And let that peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. We can do this. Not in ourselves, but in Him. We can make it. Picture yourself right now, with all of us right now in this room. Picture us all running a race this way. And we're just a givener. And all of a sudden you see Paul just lagging a little bit. And just picture this now, Chad coming up behind him and giving him the big push. And say, oh no you don't. Why can't we do that? We've got to encourage one another. Hebrews 10 tells us all the more as the day approaches. Because we get tired, we get weak, we can lose hope. So let's push and spur each other on. And one day, if you could picture this, and Jesus is returning, and there's the finish line, and every one of us, last one of us, crosses the line. And not one of us is left behind. Don't you want that? Don't you believe that for each other? That we would all cross the line. And Paul said it. When we see that day, our faith is going to be sight. We won't have to hope anymore. We get it. He's the prize. Are you encouraged in the Lord today? Amen. Are you going to persevere in your faith? Are you going to be steadfast? Good, then you're ready to celebrate. Jay, come on up. God, I thank you for your people today. God, thank you that we're all in a race. And God, today, wherever we're at, in all circumstances, God, would you just lift us up? God, would you run with us, and God, may your spirit just urge us on a little bit more passionately. Fill us with joy today. Because we believe that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God, fill us with hope today. Teach us to more so just to turn our eyes to you and upon you, and take nourishment from the Word, the Bible, the good news. And God, may your Spirit continue to help us to persevere and be steadfast. And God, keep us all in the faith so that we will not turn to the left or the right. We won't turn back. If you're in the room today and you could just use a little bit more strength from God, and you're going through a really hard time, and you just want to say, hey, God, I'm the one. I need help. I know this could be hard, but could you stand? Yep, people in the balcony. Use a little hand from the Lord today. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, God, you see these folks. And God, I don't know all the circumstances, but boy, you sure do. You know the very number of hairs on their head or that aren't there, God. You know, God, every moment, every breath, every minute of their life. And so, God, you're the one that we turn to because you can help. So So whatever they have need of today, in Jesus' name, God, would you grant it? Would you speak? Would you give? Would you, God, refresh? Would you renew? Would you undergird them with strength? And God, whatever the cry of their heart is today, God, in the midst of it, walk with them. And God, just put a hope in them and a peace that just assures them that God is with them and that they can trust in you, God. Increase their faith, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord thanks and praise and invite you all to stand. I think we need to celebrate Jesus today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't God great? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we get to fellowship with one another. There's coffee and cookies and all that stuff in the foyer, so don't run away. You know, we're called to fellowship with one another. So let's do that and do it well, and the Lord bless you. And if, hey, you're going through something and you'd like a little extra prayer or maybe someone to talk to, I'm here all week. Most of the time. Anyway, bless you. Bless you.